Welcome back to This Blonde Can Talk About Anything as you've known and loved it in the past. This episode is completely devoid of any mention of devastation, unless, of course, you happen to be an Eagles fan. This is episode 97 with your host, Melanie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Blonde Can't Talk About Anything. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's because the spelling of your name doesn't change from one week to the next, from one month to the next, from one year to the next. I'm really, really, really happy to be back here talking to you guys about something that brings me so much joy. And that, of course, is Tom Brady. I know I said that I was going to do this on Monday, but unfortunately got sick, which is not a surprise if you listen to this show. I get sick quite frequently, but I am not sick today. And I am here to talk about the Super Bowl. There probably is not much that I can say that hasn't already been said, you know, with regard to the game, but nobody watched it through my eyes. So this is the only way that you're going to get to hear about it from my perspective. I should call this episode The Way I See It. But the thing is no one will see it the way I see it because you're not me. Before I continue with this, I just wanted to say hi. And I'm sorry to little Patrick Mahomes, who went into a game with just a little too overconfidently, thinking that he was going to walk out of there, further extending this idea that he was the next GOAT. In order to be the GOAT, you have to beat the GOAT. And considering the GOAT is Tom Brady, and Patrick has failed to beat him twice, he can never, and he's retired, so you can never beat the GOAT. Travis Kelce, who walked into the game looking like a 70s pimp, thinking he had the game in the bag, probably should go cry to his mommy, because to be the GOAT, you have to beat the GOAT, and he has never beat Gronk when it mattered. And also there's like a GOAT debate with the coaches. Andy Reid could never beat Bill Belichick when it mattered. So there are no GOATs on the Kansas City Chiefs. The only reason, and I can't stress this enough, the only reason that people out there think Travis Kelce is better than Rob Gronkowski is because they started watching football when, you know, Gronk had already retired. So they started watching last year when Travis started dating Taylor Swift. They don't know anything about Gronk. And then they look at statistics on Google and they think, oh, look, Travis beat this stat, Travis beat that stat. Travis is 35 years old. He has played significantly longer than Gronk. Gronk retired twice. Gronk had a season-ending injury and still won the Super Bowl that year. So no, there's nothing to compare there. Nada, nothing. Nothing. But they don't get that because they haven't been watching football as long as I have. So I have a little message specifically for Patrick in the form of like Eminem parody music. So let me just give you that now because it's nagging at me.
That last Super Bowl, you were pretty lucky. Get another couple rings, then you can touch me.
And of course, by me, I mean Tom, because Tom is my on-field counterpart. I am the armchair counterpart to Tom Brady, which means I play QB from the couch. I cannot throw a ball clear through the kitchen, but I am on the level of, there is nobody as good at, you know, playing armchair QB than me. And it's undisputed because I said so. I'm super happy with the way the Super Bowl went because I think I was the only person left on the planet who actually believed that the Chiefs were going to be defeated because I just didn't think they were that good. I think it was largely the Taylor Swift Bowl. Like last year, I think everybody wanted just to see her. And then when they did see her and she got booed, that became the story of the night. And the next day it was, oh, Travis was just so heartbroken. Like, you know what, Travis? Shut up. Stop whining. You're supposed to be playing football. Like, are you a baby, Travis? Because I have never heard Tom Brady fucking whine. And that man has been put through hell. So anyway, if I keep going at this pace, I'm just going to be here like raging against this guy that I think is an absolute clown. And this girl who I have always had such respect for, And then she started dating this absolute clown, and now she started behaving like it. But not even so much her fans. Like, I'm going to get into talking about the actual Super Bowl, but the fact that there are Chiefs fans who are actually Taylor Swift fans who are getting online and harassing Jason Kelce, who played his entire career with the Philadelphia Eagles, to the point that he removes his congratulatory post from the New Heights podcast page because Swifties don't know when to stop. Is gross. The fact that they're like harassing Jason at all is gross. He played for the Eagles his entire career, and then he's got these Swifties who just won't fucking lay off, so he has to like take his post off, and then he takes it over to his, I don't like either Kelce brother, by the way, so for me to be defending him is really like, Jason is, I don't like him, like, but it re be respectful. Be respectful. Like, he played for that team his entire career. He retired. He's only been in retirement for one season. Give me a break. I'm seeing, fans of Taylor writing things like, Jason, respectfully, fuck you. You support a team that body shames women and did nothing but support your brother. Also, they're hating on your brother. If that's not enough reason for you, if you don't care about Taylor, that's fine. Fuck you. But your brother, too, get the fuck out. Like, these Swifties do not understand what football is. It's a game. Relax. I mean, it's a very difficult game. It's a game I'm very passionate about, but it is a game. So if this Taylor warriorism or whatever you guys want to call it, you need to stop. Like, also posting fake reviews on Google to one of the Philadelphia Eagles players' moms because they're angry that the Eagles won and he made a comment that they didn't like. This is not the way we support people in the world. If you don't like somebody, just let it go. Just let it go. Taylor Swift getting booed at the game, despite what Swifties want to say, is not misogyny. It's the fact that the stadium was essentially packed with Eagles fans. What did you expect? And not only that, but I'm a woman and I'm super passionate about football, and I probably would have booed her too because you guys made it that way, that she was shoved in the faces of football fans every fucking game. We don't want to see it. That would be like me saying Tom Brady should be on every single game. Now, Tom Brady is shown once a week during Fox's Game of the Week every week, maybe 5 minutes total. He gets paid for that. He is not somebody's girlfriend. He is paid to be there. It is his job. So I don't want to hear anybody fucking complaining about that. But I just know that these Taylor Swift fans, these Swifties, whatever, I don't know. I have friends who are part of this fan base, and I know they wouldn't act like this. But there's an overwhelming majority who's never watched, football. Like, even somebody here said, as a Swiftie, I missed the time before Swifties had any connection to the Eagles, and Jason Kelce could live his life and say whatever he wanted without it becoming the end of the world. Go touch grass, I beg you all. Like, everybody is obsessed with this relationship that they're not in. It is fucking weird. Go outside. Make friends. Travis and Taylor do not care what you think. They do not care that you exist. Move on. Do not be harassing people. One of them even claims to have reported the Philadelphia Eagles player's mom to ICE. Like, are you fucking crazy? That's illegal. That's illegal. I really don't understand Swifties. I don't understand why you think that the person that you like is infallible. I'm sure there are places where Tom Brady goes and gets booed. It is what it is. I'm sure there are places that Ariana Grande, who I love, goes and maybe gets booed. It is what it is. Most of the world might love Taylor Swift, but the entire world doesn't. And they don't have to be entertained by her being at a game. It's they don't need to show her on the Jumbotron. Before somebody, a Swiftie, comes to me and says, "Oh, but she doesn't know." Yeah, well, there's a little story I can tell you. Hailee Steinfeld, the Academy Award nominated actress who's engaged to Buffalo Bills quarterback and NFL MVP Josh Allen's fiance, asked specifically not to be shown on Jumbotron, on TV, nothing, and they don't show her. So if Taylor really doesn't want the negative
attention, then she should ask not to be shown that if she doesn't want it, because it comes with the territory. It doesn't matter who you are. When Tony Romo dated Jessica Simpson, it was a whole shit show, the same thing. So if you want to be like in that situation, I mean, get ready for it. It comes with the territory. So everybody getting mad at Jason Kelsey and blaming him and saying that, the Kelsey brothers have what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought because I'm thinking about how stupid this is. Oh, the Swifties were saying that they have, are the reason that Travis and Jason's podcast has been so successful, and that they owe everything to the Swifties, and that the Swifties will just destroy him and destroy his life and blah blah blah. That is a sick, disgusting way of thinking, but I digress because it's not something I would do. It's not the behavior that I would have. For example, I don't really like Gisele Bundchen for a lot of reasons, especially the way that she treated, Tom Brady in the end. However, I would probably not boo her, and I certainly would not go on the internet and make the claim that, I'm giving her livelihood or whatever. Like, this is just dumb, and I don't even want to talk anymore. I want to talk about the actual, Super Bowl. I want to get into that a little bit. So people can know Tom Brady, like, kind of roasted. This is not related to the Super Bowl, but he roasted Travis. I mean, it is related to the Super Bowl. And this is where I find the Kelseys, both of them, to be quite disgusting. Tom made a joke that said, maybe if Tom, sorry, excuse me, if Kelsey had focused on the Super Bowl instead of being heartbroken over Taylor Swift, it might have made a difference, which he ain't wrong. And then Jason Kelsey claps back with, well, if Tom Brady had focused on his wife more instead of football, like, shut the fuck up. You met your wife on Tinder, and the interaction was so classy that she said, if I told you that I worked for UPS, would you let me handle your package? And you said, yes. If somebody talked to me like that, I would say, take your package and shove it up your ass. Anyway, I'm going to get angry about this if I keep going over how, like, I don't like the way Swifties are treating Jason Kelsey, but Jason Kelsey, when you come for my quarterback, you come for me. And I might be dangerous on my own, m worse than every single fucking Swiftie. I studied at the school of Twin of See how anxious and angry I'm getting? I studied at the school of Quentin Tarantino. I know how to shoot sideways. I'm not threatening to shoot Jason Kelsey before somebody hears this and says that. I'm just saying that I know how to do it. So let's talk about the game and the two specific performances and also the GOAT debate. So focusing on the Super Bowl that was played on Sunday, which is Super Bowl 59, Kansas City Chiefs were trying to, three-peat, as we all know. But thanks to the Philadelphia Eagles, that attempt was thwarted, which I expected. And central to this outcome was a choke performance by quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes cannot win against Tom Brady when it matters, and he cannot win when Tom Brady is in the building when it matters, so it would seem. 126 million people watching witnessed it. It's not just like me making this up. It's a fact. So Tom Brady lost. This is just for shits and giggles, for stats, for purposes for you to know. Tom Brady lost three Super Bowls by a combined 15 points, 1-5. Patrick Mahomes has lost two, which is one less than Brady, Super Bowls by a combined 44-0 points. Like, goat debate where? In the Super Bowl, Tom Brady played 10 games, 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes already is at 5 games, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. They are not on the same level. But I'm not there yet. I'm so angry about this GOAT debate, but I'm going to get there. But that's not where I am now. So circling back to the Chiefs, obviously heading into the game, the expectations were like sky high for Mahomes and the Chiefs. They had the opportunity to become the first team in NFL history to win 3 consecutive Super Bowls. Tom Brady tempted twice and failed. So if they would have done it, I would have never heard the end of it, but they didn't do it. Because the game unfolded in a manner that very few people anticipated. And by few, I mean everyone except me. I happen to know that Patrick's kryptonite is Tom. It's Tom Brady's existence. Tom Brady can enter the building, breathe. It's over for Patrick. Right from the jump. It's just over because... Sorry, I needed a drink. My throat's a little dry. It's just over for him because he just can't... He cracks under pressure. Something that Tom Brady never really did, you know, just saying, never really cracked under pressure. The only time he cracked under quote unquote pressure was twice against Eli Manning. And even that, he never got blown out in a game ever in 10 Super Bowls with 3 losses and 7 wins, never got blown out. Just gonna let that sit there. So the Eagles just really seem to want the game more from the jump, in my opinion. Like, Mahomes faced relentless pressure from their defense. The offensive line struggled to contain Philly's pass rush as well, leading to Patrick being sacked 6 times, a career high in a single game, which is really bad. Like I mentioned, Brady has played in 10 Super Bowls and was only sacked 6 times, combining every single game. Mahomes has been sacked in the Super Bowl 7 times, but it was... across 2 different games. The Eagles defensive coordinator Vic Fangio crafted a game plan that effectively neutralized Mahomes. So most notably, the Eagles achieved this pressure without resorting to blitzes, a testament to their defensive line's dominance, because Mahomes was not blitzed on any of his 42 dropbacks, making him the 6th quarterback in Super Bowl history to face 0 blitzes. The most pivotal moment that occurred in the game happened in the 2nd quarter, when the Chiefs were already trailing. Patrick threw an interception intended for DeAndre Hopkins. And then, so Eagles rookie cornerback and birthday boy, he turned 22 that day, Cooper DeJean, capitalized on the mistake, returning it 38 yards for a touchdown. And that marked Mahomes' first career pick 6 and extended the Eagles' lead 17-0 in the 2nd quarter, which is not a great score to have. The first half seemed to be very challenging for the Chiefs. They managed to get only 23 total yards and 1 first down, which is one of the worst offensive performances in Super Bowl history. It's actually Patrick specifically played one, probably the, I'm sorry, the worst game by a quarterback in the history of the NFL since himself. The last time he played Tom Brady. Sorry, I'm just calling it, like, I'm just saying what it is. It is what it is. It's the truth. I don't have any reason to lie. Throughout the game, the first half, they managed like only 23 total yards and 1 first down. That's like, again, so bad. 33 yards in the first half with 2 interceptions and 3 sacks. That is a fucking terrible performance. And I'm speaking specifically right now of Patrick's abominable performance that I think was just really bad. I'm just hitting on like a few of the key points here. Like, I'm not going to go through the whole game, but so in the end, I mean, Super Bowl 59 was a game where the Eagles' defense executed their game plan to perfection and led to like a very subdued performance from Patrick. I'm not saying Patrick sucks. Don't take me wrong here. I'm saying he played really bad. And it also underscores the importance of protection, decision-making, and the impact of a relentless defense can have on even like the most talented quarterbacks. Because even Tom Brady will tell you, you know, when he was playing, he never won a game single-handedly. He was MVP for most of his wins, but he never won by himself. It was always a team effort. So this is just like me. I have a little bit of stuff to say about Travis's fucking abysmal game, because I'm not going to go over the whole game and every single player. Why? This is why. Because you've all watched the Super Bowl and you all have an opinion of what it was or what it should have been. And these are just my takes. That's all. So Kelce's Super Bowl 59 performance, again, the same thing, in pursuit of a three-peat and lost to the Philadelphia Eagles because it was the same game. A key factor in this game was the fact that Travis did nothing. Okay. Travis did nothing all season, if we're honest. He had a really bad season. I had him in fantasy football, so I know for a fact that he had a really shitty season, despite what the Swifties will tell you. I cannot even, I swore I wasn't going to veer up topic, but I cannot even get over walking through the mall, like, all Christmas season, all during football season, and seeing Kansas City Chiefs in women's department and no other teams. And also, like, a t-shirt that said, "Go Taylor's boyfriend." Yeah. If you wanted any other team, so my quarterback, Tom Brady, is now part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, which makes me part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders and makes me a Raiders fan. So I wanted, you know, a sweater or a hoodie to wear for my team. And I had to buy a men's small because they only cater to Kansas City in the women's section. Don't understand it. Never will. Doesn't make any fucking sense. Anywho, Travis was shit all season, but for some reason entering the game, they were still like focusing on him as a central figure of the offense because, you know, he has in the past been reliable and he's been pretty good at making plays. However, the Super Bowl unfolded spectacularly. And by that, I mean, it saw Kelce struggle to make any impact at all. In the first half, he was pretty much absent from the stat sheet, failing to record a single reception. This is not the first time that he's had this problem in his 25-game playoff career either, which is kind of sad. He didn't have one catch in the opening half. The offense as a whole was shut down, managing only like 33 passing yards before halftime. Again, this is a testament to Vic Fangio implementing a game plan that effectively neutralized Kelce by the Eagles defense anyway. And Cooper DeJean playing a significant role in using, you know, press coverage to disrupt Kelce's routes and timing and quarterback Patrick Mahomes, like all that crap. I get flustered talking about them. What I meant to say there is that Cooper, like, he did a really good job using press coverage to disrupt Kelce's routines with Patrick because they all have routes and things that they've learned and whatever. I don't know how to explain it. Tom could explain it to you how he knew, you know, what the other team was going to do before they did it because he studied so much film. I'm not sure that went on here with these players, but I don't know. A critical occurrence in the second quarter, Travis was tasked with blocking defensive end Josh Stewart, but failed. I'm not shocked because people don't understand this about Gronk. And by people, I mean Swifties. Gronk was a blocking tight end. So as well as always catching the ball, you know, and being so clutch and getting touchdowns and being so in sync with Brady, Gronk was also a blocker. Kelce typically doesn't block. He's not very good at it. So, you know, when he wasn't able to block Josh Sweat, he capitalized, sacked Mahomes, further, you know, in making the game worse for the Chiefs, offensively anyway. The play drew criticism from analysts and fans, highlighting Kelce's struggle not only in receiving, but also in blocking assignments. So it's not just like I'm the only person in the world who thinks that he's not a blocking tight end. He's a top three tight end. And again, I say this only because Gronk didn't play as long. If Gronk had played to 35, I don't even want to know what his stats would have looked like. I mean, I do wish I could know because it means he would play longer. Anywho, so by the end of the game, this is what Kelce managed to do. 4 receptions for 39 yards, which is a stark contrast to his usual, you know, just whatever. And his performance contributed to the loss big time. And they lost 40-22. And at the half, it was literally, I think it was third. I can't remember exactly, but it was whatever the score was, it was zero for the Chiefs. And at first I thought, oh, maybe this is there at 28-3, which is, if you watch football, then you would know. 28-3 was the score at halftime for the Patriots versus the Falcons in Super Bowl 51. And it was not their 28-3. Well, not even close. Just not even close. So Kelce is 35, which is old for a tight end, and his future with the Chiefs is like a huge topic of discussion amongst fans and whatnot. It has been pretty much all season, especially since he's had like career lows in yardage and touchdowns, and leading to like a lot of speculation that he might retire. Kelce himself has acknowledged that he has physical and mental pain from having played for so long, but hasn't yet made any definitive decisions about his future. I think he should retire while he's still considered good, because if he plays one more year, like, this is not like the same situation as Patrick. Patrick is 29. He's playing QB. Do I think he's going to play as long as Brady? No, because he runs and he does all kinds of stupid things, whereas Brady would not do those things to to try to contain injuries. But if Kelce plays and one more season, the wheels are just going to fall off, and it's going to be like a Peyton Manning situation where somebody who was once thought of as great will be just thought of as good. And nobody really wants that. I don't like Kelce, but he's deserved his flowers a few times, but now is not that time. And I also respectfully, if you're listening, Travis, I know you're not, stay the fuck away from acting. You're not a fucking actor, okay? I don't know if that's a Boston accent. I don't know what that is, but you're just not. You're not an actor. You have done nothing to deserve to be an actor except sleep with arguably the most powerful woman in the industry. And when that ends, and it will, nobody's going to want to watch you acting, because you're not, it's not good. I'm sorry. Even his mom was like, oh, I think if Travis wants to do acting, I think he's going to have to do a lot of work. So I just think maybe he can stick to game show hosting and whatever. So that's pretty much all I have to say about the Super Bowl, because all I care about is that Tom Brady's legacy was protected. That was my whole thing that I cared about going in. I was like, nobody is touching that legacy. So in conclusion, Super Bowl 59 was a very challenging for Travis and Patrick. And their uncharacteristic performances were like, just yikes. They mirrored the broader struggles of the Chiefs offense. The Eagles' defensive strategy effectively limited both of their impacts, raising questions about what lies ahead for Travis in particular. But since we're here, and the whole point of this was who was going to be the GOAT at the end of the game, and I kept saying to you guys on the last podcast, which I did an informative one to talk about the fires, which I'm not doing that today, but there are resources still out there about the fires, and the fires are still in my heart, and they are being posted constantly on my stories. So there will be, that maybe the next episode I do, I'll talk about whatever topic, and then we'll do a little bit about the fires. But for today, I just want to talk about this because it makes me so happy. You don't even understand. Like, I was jumping before I knew they were going to win, but I just had this feeling like, not a fucking chance. They're going to beat the Eagles in that building with Brady there. And it was hard for me to cheer for the Eagles because, I don't know if you know, you probably don't remember because you're a fucking Swiftie. The Patriots lost a game to the Eagles, and that was the last time we saw Danny Amendola play for the Patriots. That was his last game, and that was heartbreaking. And he kind of was the reason why we lost, because he underthrew and Tom dropped the ball. But we're not here to blame Danny for things. I'm just pointing it out. I love you, Danny. But what I did want to highlight is why Tom Brady is still the GOAT and not Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to just have like a small, keep it as short as possible discussion, because this discussion has been heating up for the last couple of years over who is a better quarterback, like, and who will be the greatest of all time. Some people are naive and they say that Patrick is on his way to being the GOAT, but I'm here to make the case for why Tom Brady is still the GOAT. So starting with numbers, because at the end of the day, resume speaks for itself. Tom Brady, seven Super Bowl wins in 10 appearances, 5 Super Bowl MVPs, most career passing yards over 89,000, most career touchdown passes 649, most playoff wins, 35, and playoff passing yards, 13,400 plus. Those records aren't just impressive, they're untouchable. Mahomes is good, I will give him that, but he currently has 3 Super Bowl wins out of 5. So that's not as good as 7 out of 10. If he keeps at this current pace, he might be able to catch, you know, Brady, but that's a big might. That's a big if. Like, Brady went to several Super Bowls and then went like 10 years without a ring. I don't think Mahomes is going to play long enough to be able to afford going 10 years without a ring. Would take him to 39, and then he would need to win 4 to be able to tie Brady. So there's no way he's going to pass him. It just isn't. The Super Bowl 51 comeback alone against the Falcons that I mentioned earlier is the greatest single game performance in football history, 28-3 in the third quarter. Imagine. And Brady led the Patriots to 25 unanswered points and a 34-28 overtime victory. Mahomes has yet to pull off a comeback of that magnitude on the biggest stage. He just can't do it. He can't do it. He can't. He might go back next year and choke again. We don't know. Do I think they're going back next year? No, I don't think they have the team to go back. I don't think they're going to have Kelce to be there. And their revenue is going to go down because there won't be any Swifties buying jerseys. Oh God, my voice is getting all scratchy again. Okay. So one of the biggest arguments in favor of Tom Brady is the longevity and consistency of his play. He played at an elite level for over 20 years. Patrick is good right now, but let's not forget that we've seen generational talents like Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning look unstoppable for a decade, only for them to fall short of Brady's greatness. I mean, I really love Peyton. I have a lot of respect for Peyton Manning, but he played too long. He played until the wheels fell off and everybody forgot how great he was. Rodgers hasn't been good for a while. I mean, the Jets are letting him go. That says everything. Tom Brady also won a Super Bowl, or several Super Bowls, I should say, in 3 different decades. So from the early 2000s to 2021 at the age of 44, Mahomes is only in his like 6th season as a starter. It's too early to say he's, you know, the GOAT. But we don't even know if he can sustain this level for another 10, 15 years. He's 29. So 10 years would take him to 39. And he had to play another 5 years after that to play to the, no, it's just not going to to like outplay Tom. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. I think that when Brady torched Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl at age 43, he proved that longevity is just as important as peak performance. And Mahomes wasn't just beaten that night. He was completely shut down. That's the 31-9 Super Bowl for anyone who forgot. Another thing people overlook is that Tom Brady did more with less, especially early on. He won 2 Super Bowls, throwing to guys like Troy Brown and Deion Branch. They're solid players, but they're not elite players. He didn't really get superstar receivers until 2007 with Randy Moss. And even then, his biggest success came with role players, not Hall of Famers, because Randy Moss is a Hall of Fame player, but he's never won the Super Bowl. I love Randy Moss, and he's currently battling cancer. So I just want to give a shout out to Randy and send him some love and help, you know, healing energy. He's such a great man and a great player. Let's move on. I don't want to cry. So Mahomes has played his entire career under Andy Reid, an offensive genius, obviously, and had Travis for a top 3 tight end, like I mentioned earlier. Not to mention, he started his career throwing to Tyreek Hill, the fastest receiver the league has ever seen. If you switched their situations and put Brady in Reid's system with Kelce and Tyreek Hill, do you think he wouldn't have dominated just as much, if not more, than Patrick? Because, I mean, make it make sense. The biggest difference between Tom and Patrick are that Brady is the most clutch quarterback in NFL history. Has 9 game-winning drives in the Super Bowl alone. He played 10 Super Bowls and had 9 game-winning drives. He leads fourth quarter comebacks in the playoffs.
He won a Super Bowl with a last second drive at the age of 24. Last second, guys. And he did it again at the age of 41. Mahomes has had big moments. I can't take that away from him. His Super Bowl overtime win was pretty impressive. But let's not forget that in three of his Super Bowl wins, he benefited from huge defensive players and lucky breaks. For example, the 49ers dropped an easy interception. The Eagles, the first time, not this time, the first time they played them, defense collapsed. The 49ers missed a game-winning field goal. This is, again, they played the Niners twice. They beat them once and not the second time, if I'm correct. Yeah, that's correct, because the losses were handed over by the Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady. Tom Brady, meanwhile, built his legacy on cold-blooded execution in the biggest moments. He was not lucky. Patrick is lucky. That's my opinion. My verdict, my final verdict, Tom Brady is the GOAT. Patrick is good, and maybe he's considered the best quarterback in the game today. Not that I would agree, but anyway, he could be on on pace to put him in the GOAT conversation, but in reality, I think he's not actually there yet, and I think we should stop putting his name in the GOAT conversation for now. He needs at least four more Super Bowls to catch Brady. He hasn't had a career-defining comeback like Brady's 28-3 game, and he hasn't proven that he can sustain elite play into his 30s and 40s. Until he does all of that, Tom Brady remains the undisputed greatest of all time. You cannot change my mind. You cannot. So he will have to win enough Super Bowls to pass Brady to be the GOAT, in my opinion. So he needs three Super Bowl wins to tie Brady. Four Super Bowl wins. I don't even know what number I said. I'm so tired. Four Super Bowl wins to tie Brady, and five to pass him. And he's 29. And his team is about to fall apart. Let that sink in. Also, Andy Reid is a great coach, but he's not Bill Belichick. And I think Bill Belichick had a certain magic. Another thing that Patrick, in my opinion, would have to do to really show that he's the GOAT is go play for another team. Because Brady, they were saying, you know, it's Belichick. You can't do it without Belichick for years. And then he left and he went and played for Tampa Bay and won the Super Bowl after being there for one season. So you cannot change my mind. There's only one GOAT. It is Tom Brady. I do not even think that Patrick should be in the conversation. He doesn't even have as many rings as Joe Montana or Terry Bradshaw, for that matter. So no, he is not goated. I'm sorry. You can't change my opinion. Overall, I'm very happy for the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts certainly deserved it. I mean, that whole team came out just guns blazing. And when you come out and play that way, you are likely to get the result that you want. So I'm very proud of them. I would encourage Swifties to stop being nasty and saying ugly things about, you know, Jason Kelce, who could be your girl's, you know, brother-in-law if all things go the way you guys expect them to. Just be nicer and, you know, don't make false reviews on Google, and don't report people to immigration for no fucking reason. That is illegal, and I hope that you get your just desserts for that. I just really hate that fan base. And it's sad because, like I said, so many of my friends are Swifties and none of them behave like this, but it is what it is. Anyway, I'm tired. I'm happy that I got to get on here and yap, because that's what I do, and yap about one of my favorite things, which is Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the new GOAT. There is no word GOAT anymore. It's just Tom Brady. If Patrick wants to be the next Tom Brady, he has to do a lot of things. Anybody who wants to be the next Tom Brady, there's no more GOAT debate, okay? Tom Brady is it. So that's it. We don't say GOAT. We say TB12 or Tom Brady, because that's really where it's at. And I think that's pretty much all I have to say, because if I stay here, you know me, I can yap, 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 and I'll do it for like hours and hours and hours. And the next thing you know, it'll be next week. So no, so happy with how the Super Bowl turned out, including the booing of Taylor Swift, if only to show how disgusting her fan base is, how their behavior, how ugly it is, how to underscore that, to the point it's horrifying. I will probably be back next episode. Give it a week, obviously. We'll talk maybe Screen Actors Guild Awards predictions. Maybe we can do Oscars at the same time, or maybe I'll do something else. And then after the SAG Awards, I'll do my Oscars predictions. Either way, whoever wins the awards, you know, I'm always so happy for whoever it is, because I think just to get there is so hard. And so I'm proud of everyone who's nominated. But now I'm just switching topics, which I'm very good at, by the way. I should, for the first time this year, thank my sponsors. So I want to give a big shout out to Huxwear, HUXWEAR on Instagram. They are made for women, by women, camel toe eliminating, moisture wicking underwear. Again, check them out on Instagram at HUXWEAR, as well as Michael Solberg Family Wines, also available on Instagram. They are a California wine. If you live in Canada, you will not be able to get it anymore because tariffs. Apparently, Canada wants to fight tariffs by telling the US, we don't want your alcohol. In either case, most of my listeners are not in Canada, so you can still get Michael Solberg's Family Wines. It's a California wine, and it is delicious. And of course, last but not least, Snack Conscious, the protein balls that actually taste delicious, at SnackConcious. You can find them on Instagram as well. For those of you who don't know, we now have an Instagram. This podcast has an Instagram, and it's This Blonde Can Talk. So please give us a follow if you don't already. We are at 52,000 on Twitter and significantly less on Instagram. So I need you guys to go over there and follow. There are clips there from the past, and that will continue as we move forward. What else did I want to say? You can continue, you know, to leave your suggestions on my personal account at That Brash Blonde, and I will always follow up on them, always. I'm probably going to do one of those little who would you like to have a hear from or whatever posts soon. So be on the lookout for that. But until you see it, if you do have something that you'd like me to talk about or someone that you'd like me to talk to, send me a message and I will do my best to make it happen. You can also do that on Twitter at a blonde who talks. I try to reply everyone as much as possible, but please make sure you send it as like a post, not in DMs, because I do not check Twitter/X DMs. We are also on Blue Sky. Not that I can honestly say that I use it much. This Blonde Can Talk. I'm going to do my best to start using it more. But yeah, if you could give us a follow on Instagram, that would be great. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a comment. If you're listening on why am I blanking? Spotify, which is where I listen. Leave a review. And if this podcast isn't for you and you need something to laugh at, nobody is promoting this. Nobody is asking me to tell you this. Go listen to my girls, Emily Wilson and Chloe Richmond over on All Body, No Brains. They are fucking hilarious and they will make the worst days better. And I'm going to go. And in closing, I had to just have a little message, a short message. And it's from Tom Brady to Patrick Mahomes and anybody else who wants to call themselves the GOAT. For me, for now, bye.
Will the real Tom Brady please stand up and put your ring fingers on each hand up and be proud to be top of the line? Just call me the GOAT one more time.
Well, that was fun. I wonder what she'll talk about next or if she'll still need me by then.